It's time to talk hockey with the guys in the know. It's the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
It is another edition of Panthers Insider. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. High above the ice surface here at BB&T Center will be crowded later on as the Toronto Maple Leafs will make their first appearance to Sunrise this season. Austin Matthews, John Tavares, and the rest of the Leafs will be here in an Atlantic Division matchup. The one game for the Panthers at home before they hit the road again, Doug. So after a couple games in the Midwest, back home tonight, and then you're back on the road again all through Christmas and through the New Year.
Yep, the Panthers starting off a road trip on Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Buffalo Sabres. That'll be the first of four straight on the road, but the Panthers with one big home game tonight, a one-off homestand, if you will. Here tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, 7 o'clock face-off, Panthers and the Leafs here tonight. The first matchup of the season for the Panthers against Toronto, an Atlantic Division foe. So a big game here against a Toronto team that's coming in off a loss, but again, they're coming in off a game in Tampa in which they felt they played well enough to win the game, but Andrei Vasilevskiy of Tampa Bay stole that one last time out for the Lightning a couple of nights ago. We'll talk more about that one. We'll break it all down as we roll along. We've got some guests stopping by, but a reminder, folks, 7 o'clock tonight, Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. Panthers in the Leafs for the first time this season, first of four total matchups, and tonight it's another Legacy Saturday this evening as we have throughout this 25th anniversary season. Saturday night home games, the Legacy Saturday is a big part of it, and tonight we'll be honoring former Panthers captain Brian McCabe. He'll be here this evening, and we'll be again honoring him. And Brian McCabe, the Panthers director of player development, so obviously still holds a big spot in the organization. And tonight we're going to honor him here on this Legacy Saturday as the Panthers are taking on another one of Brian McCabe's former teams this evening. So should be a lot of fun tonight. 7 o'clock face-off. You want to make sure that you're in your seats early for this one tonight. 954-835-PuckFloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. If you don't already have your tickets, make sure you get those. But again, getting ready for a fun one. Should be a lively one, a big game for the Panthers here tonight as they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who certainly come in with a lot of offensive firepower. So that's what we have tonight. And Kevin, in this hour, we have a busy show coming up, and one of our great guests actually just dropped by right here at the BB&T Center. Just stopped in. Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com. How are you?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just rolled right into the BB Center, right up to the skybox, and here you guys are.
We're rolling.
We're the only ones in the arena. I am the Zamboni's out there right now. We're going to have to drive the Zamboni, get the ice a little bit.
Yeah, Trans-Siberian Orchestra definitely left the building. They're no longer here. We can see that.
You went to the show last night, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Caught up on rest.
Oh, okay, good. Just want to make sure. It's not Elton John. All right, coming up, we will talk with Jameson in just a little bit. Also, Randy Muller will join us. We'll also hear from Sean Thornton as well. So all of that is coming up. But first, it is time for our Week in Review. As we take a look back at the week that was, the three games for the Panthers, let's rewind to last Saturday when the Panthers squared off with the New York Rangers to wrap up the eight-game homestand. As the Panthers pretty much up and down throughout the homestand, a couple overtime wins, coming off a tough loss to Colorado last Thursday, so trying to wrap up the homestand with a victory. Unfortunately, the Panthers fell behind early, 2-0 to New York after one period of play. Zibanejad and Mestnikov scoring the goals for the Rangers. Can I buy a vowel, please? Coming up, so we go, let's fast forward through that, go to the second period, and the Panthers were on the power play. Less than a minute into the second, and Keith Yandel was able to get the Panthers on the board.
To Hoffman here on the near side. Thought about a shot, scoots across to the far point. Yandel, a one-timer, and he scores! A power play goal, and the Panthers cut the Rangers' lead to one.
Power play comes through again.
And Keith Yandel puts up his fifth of the season. We had talked about, guys, with the power play. The theme of the power play this season is it was non-existent through the first what, 8 or 10 games, and now it feels like every game they're getting a power play goal.
And it all has started with the name you just heard right there, Keith Yandle, really quarterbacking this power play. He's been among the league leaders in power play points really all season long, and he's really been one of the main catalysts throughout on that power play and especially on that top unit.
Yeah, the main thing is the top unit is pretty much spending at least 130, it feels like, of the 2 minutes out there every game. It's because they're doing such a good job of holding the zone. The moment they miss a shot, if a shot goes wide, if a shot gets blocked, they cycle it right back up to Yandle and they start over. And they just keep doing that and doing that, hammering it home. And that's kind of why they've been able to find that success. I mean, the second unit, although Aaron Ekblad's piled up some goals there, they're barely getting on the ice these days because the top unit's just doing so much damage.
So Yandle scores his fifth, Hoffman and Huberdeau on the assist. So the Panthers cut the lead in half down 2-1. And then 3 minutes later, Jonathan Huberdeau would break away and tie things up at 2.
Huberdeau back the other way with Dadonov driving the net. Huberdeau far circle, a shot, he scores! And Jonathan Huberdeau has tied the game at 2.
And that goal for Huberdeau, his 8th on the season. Yandle, another assist. And for Keith Yandle, guys, 22 assists so far in the year. And Huberdeau has just been amazing over the last month or so.
Jonathan Huberdeau has been red hot. And we all know his ability as a distributor, as a playmaker. But when he gets those opportunities, he's been cashing in as well. That was a prime example of that. But it's not just the it's not just piling up the points. It's piling them up in bunches, the multi-point games for Jonathan Huberdeau. He's getting on the stat sheet really more than anybody over these last 10, 12 games.
Yeah, he's really creating some space between him and number two on the team in terms of the team scoring race. And like we said before, we've been pushing out there. The NHL All-Star Fan Vote's been coming up. Jonathan Huberdeau hasn't been yet. Barkov's been. Trocheck's been. So many of these Ekblad's been. So many of these guys have been. Jonathan Huberdeau, it's the 7th season in the NHL. I think it could be time for him. Doug, where can your fans go to toss him a vote?
On that note of the All-Star Fan Vote, you can vote now through December 23rd. So you got a little more than a week still. Go to the NHL app or NHL.com. Cast your vote. Help send your favorite Panthers to the Honda NHL All-Star Weekend in San Jose. FloridaPanthers.com also for more information.
So the Panthers tied at 2. Rangers would take the lead 3-2. And then late in the second period, another guy who's been red hot from a scoring perspective, Aaron Ekblad, he would tie things up once again.
Dadonov brings it in, a pass to Barkov, poked away, but Huberdeau's got it. Ekblad to the net, upstairs, and he scores! A great pass across, Huberdeau to Ekblad, and the game is tied at 3. Aaron Ekblad with the tying goal.
That's his 7th of the season, 18-20, so late in the second period to tie it up, and just the way he's been scoring also in bunches. You don't see that from a defenseman, but from Ekblad, he has just been red hot.
It's been almost every other game, really, over the last month or so that we're seeing Aaron Ekblad put one in the net, and I think the thing you're noticing mostly with him is, especially on that power play, he just has a real knack for when to sneak into the zone, when to take that chance offensively and give the forwards a passing lane. And for Aaron Ekblad, that's such a key part for any defenseman's game, to know exactly when that perfect time is to hop in and get a scoring chance.
Yeah, it's kind of been incredible. Like we said, no goals in his first 14 games, then 7 in the 14 after that. Really coming on hot, really impressive, climbing to the top of the, you know, towards the top of the leaderboard of this in the league in terms of goals by a defenseman. But for Ek, it's kind of been so interesting to see the kind of the evolution of his game in that spot. I mean, on the power play in his first couple seasons, he should just hang out near the blue line, float shots toward the net, look for deflections, look for rebounds. Now, like you said, his main threat on that power play, creeping him and looking for that shot right to the left of the net. It's been pretty impressive.
3-3 after 2, go to the third, 90 seconds in, the Rangers would take a 4-3 lead. One of your favorite Rangers, Doug, Frederick Claesson, would give the Rangers a 4-3 advantage. However, though, halfway through the third, again, that power play for the Panthers, and who do they turn to? The captain.
Barkov to Yandle. Yandle at the line. Backs up, gives to Barkov. Barkov, top left circle, a shot, he scores off the bar and in! A power play goal, the Panthers have tied it at 4!
11th goal for Barkov on the season, coming on the power play. So a couple power play goals for the Panthers. That would tie things up at 4.
And when you need a goal in a big situation, Alexander Barkov a lot of times has a knack for when to come up with the big play when you need one most. He really has that, he wants the puck on his stick in those big situations. So Alexander Barkov with the big goal there, and it was another wild one between the Panthers and the New York Rangers.
It seems like it always is. It's crazy to think they're already done for this season. They got those games out of the way early. But just on Barkov, I mean, we talk about so much about, the takeaways, all the Selke Trophy, type categories for him. The penalty differential has been out of control and insane, but already double-digit goals this season. You kind of forget, what an offensive dynamo Mo he is as well.
And something that we pointed to in the last broadcast just the other night with Alexander Barkov that's so impressive and maybe a stat that gets overlooked. You mentioned all the penalties he draws, the fact that he hasn't taken a penalty yet this season, but the faceoffs in the neighborhood of 54% and winning over 60% of his draws on the power play. And you touched, Jameson, on the fact that this Panthers top power play unit especially is spending about three quarters of the power play in the offensive end. That's a big reason for it. Most of the time, more often than not, they're starting those sequences with possession because Alexander Barkov has been so sharp in the faceoff circle on the power play. And that says something too, because when you're on the power play, a lot of times you're taking the draw against one of the top faceoff men on the other team, usually out there for the penalty kill.
Yeah, I talked to Bob Boone. He said that is the most important stat when he's looking at what's been the biggest reason behind this power play success is winning those faceoff draws. And obviously Barkov taking the majority of those. I believe he's still second most faceoff draws in the league on the power play behind Jonathan Toews. So yeah, they're asking a lot of him in that spot. And you know what? He's answering. He's succeeding. And it's been really helping out the Panthers.
The Panthers keep coming back in the game. They earn at least 1 point by going to overtime. And we don't have any highlights from the overtime, but the Panthers did play well, and they had chances in the overtime.
And they had it was back and forth. I mean, it was really what you expect when the Panthers and the Rangers meet. It was end-to-end action, and there was a big opportunity. I know Mike Matheson had a look from out in front of the net. Henrik Lundqvist came up with some huge saves in that one for the New York Rangers down the stretch, and the Panthers, again, had some opportunities but didn't cash in during the overtime.
And it seems like every overtime in the league tends to end around, you know, the 2:30 mark. You always get about halfway through. Each team gets those chances. Each team can say, oh, man, we're so close there, so close there. So for the Panthers, you know, they came close, but just didn't come up with the 2 points.
In the shootout, though, and it was mentioned, Doug, I know you mentioned this in the broadcast last week, it was Roberto Luongo's first time in the shootout this season. Remember those early shootouts? That was James Reimer way back early in the season, and even the Tampa Bay game in the opener when Luongo got hurt, Reimer came in. So first time for Luongo. He didn't fare as well, allowed 3 goals. The only goal came from Jonathan Huberdeau, and we saw a Barkov-Lundqvist showdown that Lundqvist won. Both were excellent in the shootout. So the Panthers do fall short 5-4.
5-4 the final in that one. The Panthers took home one of the 2 points in that game. And you mentioned Henrik Lundqvist, historically one of the top-rated goaltenders in terms of shootout efficiency, in terms of stopping the pucks on shootouts. So that was a tight one, came right down to the end there in the shootout. And unfortunately for the Panthers, they took the 5-4 shootout loss in that one. And then for the Panthers, it was off to the road after that.
Off to St. Louis for start of a 2-game road trip, which continued to Minnesota. First, though, in St. Louis, a Blues team that's been a bit down this year, played a little better of late. They had a nice win at Winnipeg last week, but the Panthers looking to bounce back from the loss to the Rangers. And in the first period, before we get to the Panthers' goal, just your thoughts on the goal that wasn't a goal, if we remember this play, in which the Blues shot it, hit off the referee, bounce pass Roberto Luongo. At first, we're thinking, oh, my God, how do you give up that goal? But then the goal can't count. It can't hit off the referee. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
So I'll just say, first of all, I've never seen that happen in a game before, and I've called nearly 800 professional hockey games through various levels, and I've never seen that happen before. The first thing that I thought of, though, was that dump-in came from outside the blue line, and Tim Peel, the referee, was almost in the corner. So for the puck to go off him and even make it out to the front of the net, Robert Bortuzzo had some real zip behind that one. That thing was coming in, and that had to sting a little bit when it went off of Tim Peel. There's no doubt about it.
And that's the thing. I think it hit him around the stomach area. There's some padding there. Like, it should have softened the blow a bit, should have kind of killed the momentum. But the puck, like you said, shoots right off Braden Roberto Luongo. And, I mean, Doug, if you haven't seen that throughout your crazy career in the ECHL and the AHL, that seems like just a minor league thing to happen, just a crazy head-scratcher. If you haven't seen it, I know I haven't seen it. That's just insanity.
Never seen anything like it.
So thankfully the goal didn't count because it can't
and
hit off the referee.
And thankfully Tim Peel's okay.
Yes,
so everybody's all right, and there was no score in the first, but then later on, Evgeny Dadonov would get the Panthers on the board.
Huberdeau puts it down toward the net, and in close, Dadonov, a shot, he scores, and the Panthers have the first one. Evgeny Dadonov from right out in front after a good feed from Jonathan Huberdeau, and the Panthers take a 1-0 lead.
I feel like lost in the shuffle, even though I know we talked about him, with what Huberto has done, what Mike Hoff has done this year, that Evgeny Dadonov still has 14 goals.
Been right around a point a game, second on the Panthers in goal scoring, and it was great to see him cash in right there. But the pass that Jonathan Huberto made to set that up was an all-world play. There are not a lot of guys that would have been able to sneak that one through to Evgeny Dadonov cutting to the net. also shows Evgeny Dadonov's awareness there. He knew he was out there with a guy like Huberto who could spot him pretty much anywhere on the ice.
You go to Huberto, I'll even take it one guy farther back. Alexander Barkov's play along the boards there to kick the puck out, to win that battle, get the puck to Huberto. I mean, that was just a whole three-man line effort there.
Panthers up 1-0 after one. Go to the second, no scoring. So went to the third, and that's when it got really crazy there in St. Louis. The Blues would score two goals in an 11-second span in the first minute and a half and change to go up 2-1. Later on, David Perron would put in his second of the night to make it 3-1, so all of a sudden the Blues up 3-1, look like they're coasting. But the Panthers, though, they would bounce back after the Perron goal at the 11-12 mark, 34 seconds later. Mackenzie Weegar would get the Panthers within one.
Here on the near side, a little tussle for a loose puck. Jared McCann down behind the net, far circle, a drive, and they score! A drive out of the far circle, and that was put to the net by Mackenzie Weegar. Got it off his stick in the blink of an eye, and it got behind Jake Allen, and the Panthers get one back, and what a big goal that was.
And really, Doug and Jameson, after that three-goal flurry to then still, okay, inch back. Now all of a sudden you're down 3-2, definitely made a difference.
Especially considering the way that third St. Louis goal went in. That was just one of the most unlucky of unlucky bounces that worked against the Panthers. But they battled back there. Mackenzie Weegar, a really unsung player for the Panthers this season defensively, who's been very consistent, and it was nice to see him get rewarded with a goal right there.
Yeah, like I said, Mackenzie Weegar rarely is that guy. You look out on the ice and say, oh, you know, Mac blew it out there. He rarely makes those mistakes. He's really steady. He's not an offensive guy, at least with the Panthers. He used to be down in the AHL and in juniors. He was, you know, a power play quarterback here. He's kind of been more of that, you know, physical defenseman. But to see him get a goal, that's always a bonus. And like you guys said, it's kind of sparked the comeback there.
So Uyghur's first of the season. Then a minute and a half later, it was Mike Hoffman to tie things up.
Yandel looking to the slot. Couldn't find Hoffman. It bounces to Barkov. Good pressure here from the Panthers' top line. Huberto in front of shot. They score! Mike Hoffman has tied the game! What a pass to the front of the net. And Hoffman has tied this one at three.
Nice to see Hoffman is 15th. Huberto and Barkov on the assist. So that's kind of nice to see those three combine on that goal. And all of a sudden, it went from a 3-1 deficit to now a 3-3 tie.
Another multi-point game for Jonathan Huberto in that one. But Mike Hoffman and other guys, speaking of guys who've been there when the Panthers have needed a goal most, and that's why he leads the team, and he's doing it in a lot of different ways. You're seeing him get him from right out in front of the net like that. You're seeing him with his patented one-timer from the top of the circle. Either way, he's got a nose for the net.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the Panthers, I know Panthers fans have been clamoring for, you know, 30 goal scorers over the years. They've had a couple recently, but, you know, this could be a year they have a 40 goal score. I mean, with the way the power play's been clicking, with the way Mike Hoffman's shot is, with the way he's converting at 5-on-5 as well, I mean, this could be his year. He could be headed for a career high.
And then the Blues, though, would come back and take the lead. Former Flyer Braden Schenn, he would score to beat Luongo, make it 4-3 at the 16:05 mark of the third period. Panthers had some chances at the end to tie it, but they ultimately lose 4-3 in a wild third period. But unfortunately, the Panthers don't get any points out of it.
And it's, you know, it's a crazy game sometimes. You had one goal scored combined through the first two periods, and then it ends up being a 4-3 final score. And again, it was just a back-and-forth game in that one, and the Panthers on the road falling just short. High marks to the Panthers for being able to get that thing tied up at three, especially considering the way that things, that bounce worked against them to put them down 3-1. But the Panthers were able to get it knotted up, but it was the Blues who had the last one.
That's kind of the story of the season. It's been hurting. I mean, another one-goal loss, another situation where, I mean, Bob Boudner talked about it after the game. Mike Matheson gets, you know, cross-checked, could have been called there before the final. Braden Schenn goal doesn't get called. Blues win it. It seems like there's always at least, you know, one event or 5 minutes that seems to be costing the Panthers a couple points this season. So it's just another one there. It was frustrating. I know the guys were frustrated after that one, but, you know, they had to move on. They had a game 2 days later.
And in Minnesota, after the Wild destroyed the Canadiens on Tuesday night, so Minnesota came in hot, and the Panthers would get the first goal. Dennis Malgin, 2:20 in. His second would give the Panthers a 1-0 lead, so, you know, things were looking on the up and up. However, though, the Wild would score the final 5 goals of the game, including Nino Niederreiter with a pair of goals as well. Eric Staal had a goal, and Minnesota wins the final game of the road trip 5-1. And, you know, again, you're never happy with losses, but still a very good Minnesota team they faced.
Minnesota's a tough team, no doubt about that. And for the Panthers, all you do now is you turn the page here to this home game tonight, and it's going to be a stiff test against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And just looking ahead here to this one tonight, again, 7 o'clock tonight, Brian McCabe will be honored. But Legacy Saturday, and the Legacy Saturday is, again, such a big part of the Panthers' 25th anniversary season. But a big game on the ice for the Panthers, looking for a bounce back against a Leafs team that's also looking for a bounce back. We talked about off the top of the show, but they felt like they played well enough to beat Tampa Bay the other night, and Andrei Vasilevskiy stole the show in that one for the Lightning. So this is a matchup between two teams that are looking to get back on the winning side of things here tonight in the first matchup of the season between these two clubs.
And I know 2 points are 2 points no matter where you are in the league, but I mean, to come out here and, you know, take on a Toronto Maple Leafs team, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, if you can get the 2 points here, I think that means a little bit more than, you know, a regular victory, especially with how things have been going. I think that's kind of be the springboard victory they've been looking for heading back on the road after this one. And it's going to be a tough battle. Alexander Barkov's going to play a ton of minutes tonight. Obviously, when you have Austin Matthews and John Tavares on the other end of the ice, if you're the team's top defensive forward, you're going to have, you know, a big night shutting both those guys down. Panthers have last change. Bob Boudner's going to get the matchups he wants. He's going to get to do what he wants. And for the Panthers, I think it's going to be a huge benefit tonight.
So the Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs will meet tonight. It's going to be a 7 o'clock face-off here at the BB&T Center, 954-835. Puck, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. If you don't have those, get them as soon as possible. And, folks, remember, you can skate on real ice this holiday season with the Panthers Hockey Holidays Ice Rinks presented by Hoffman's Chocolates. The rink in Palm Beach will be open until December 30th, Fort Lauderdale till January 7th. For more information, go to FloridaPanthers.com/holiday rinks. And big thanks to Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com for stopping by here for segment number one on an eventful Saturday morning here up in the home radio booth at the BB&T Center. Booth D, for those of you wondering.
I think we need bowls of cereal when we do this Saturday mornings up here. I think that would kind of add to it all.
We need something. We need a little
breakfast with the Panthers.
Spread. We need something. The Zamboni's on the ice. Panthers getting set for the Maple Leafs. Jameson Olive, always a great job. Jameson will join us for After 40 tonight as the Panthers battle the Toronto Maple Leafs. Coming up, we'll hear from Sean Thornton, and also we'll hear from Randy Moeller as well later in the show. Panthers Maple Leafs tonight at the BB&T Center. You're listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Radio.com.
Radio.
Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues here at the BB&T Center. Kevin Rogers, Doug Plagans with you. Panthers and the Maple Leafs tonight. We'll be hearing two anthems as the Panthers and the Leafs will hook up for the first time this season. And the Leafs on the fourth of a 5-game road trip, just lost to Tampa Bay, so they'll be motivated tonight. Panthers motivated as well, coming off a couple losses on the road. And we'll see if the Panthers can bounce back against the blue and white.
7 o'clock faceoff, Panthers and the Leafs here this evening, 954-835 Puck, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com for tickets. Grab your family, grab your friends, enjoy all the action the Panthers have to offer with the Salins Red Hot Value Pack, starting at just $27. You will receive a ticket and parking pass in addition to a hot dog, beverage, and popcorn to a game. Tickets may be purchased in increments from 2 to 8. For more information, go to FloridaPanthers.com. And coming up now, we're going to hear from Panthers VP of Business Operations, Sean Thornton, and came out just a couple of days ago. The American Hockey League announced that Sean Thornton will be one of the honorary captains for the 2019 Lexus AHL All-Star Classic, which will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, January 27th and 28th. Springfield, of course, where the Panthers AHL affiliate is based. And, well, I had a chance to catch up with Sean Thornton, and the first thing I asked him was what it means to have this honor of being an honorary captain at the upcoming AHL All-Star Game.
It's a big honor. Dave Andrews called me about 2 months ago and asked if I'd be interested. I've said to check the schedule here, make sure I didn't have any obligations with the NHL All-Star Game or whatever, but, you know, pretty cool for me. I think there's probably a combining bunch of factors how I became nominated for this. The fact that it's in Springfield, that's our affiliate, close to Boston where I played for a bunch of years. Obviously my 600 and something games down there. So yeah, it's a big honor. So I'm excited to go back, excited to be a part of it. I never got to be in an All-Star game as a player, obviously. So this will be my first time being a part of one. But no, I'm excited for it.
And you get to be on the bench. You're gonna you looking forward to kind of rallying the guys a little bit during the game.
I think since I've retired, I've stayed pretty even keel. As a player, I used to wonder, like, how do the coaches not get fired up behind the bench? And now I know you're not, like, in the mix. You're not as excited about it. So, no, it'll be a fun event. I got to make sure I got a good suit for it, I guess. So that's it'll be on TV. I got to make sure I look good.
Yeah, you got to have your TV suit. But yeah. I know as a broadcaster, I spent a lot of time in the minor leagues, and I know you really look back fondly on your time in the American Hockey League. Is it just how much did that shape you, and how much does how does that make it even cooler to be able to do something like this now?
Yeah, I think those were some of the best days. Some of my best friends in the world have come out of my minor league days. Almost everybody's on the same payroll, basically. You're usually a younger guy. You live sometimes in the same building or the same neighborhood. You become really tight with your teammates. You learn a lot about being a good teammate. Other than the travel, I think everything else about the minors is great. I enjoyed it. I played 9 years down there. I wouldn't have stuck it out that long had I not enjoyed it. So it'll be interesting to go back. It's been a while since I've been involved in the AHL. It's been a while since I've seen a lot of those people. But I'm sure it's like anything else. You pick up right where you left off.
And how special was that first stop in the American Hockey League for you in St. John's, where I know you spent a few seasons, and you've been able to play really up and down the entire Eastern Seaboard when you look at Newfoundland all the way down here to South Florida?
Yeah, one quick stop in Anaheim, basically, but the rest of it, East Coast. St. John's, honestly, the greatest people in the world. I'm not taking that away from anywhere else, but they have Broadway shows and ESPN specials about how great the people are up there, and I think that made my 4 years up there really special, because you get 3 hours of daylight in the middle of winter. There's not a ton of activities to do in the winter up there, but the people just make the experience amazing. I still have 20 or 30 really good friends I keep in touch with that are from Newfoundland, and I think three of the people in my wedding party were Newfies, or my groomsmen, I should say. It was a great experience being part of the Maple Leafs organization, too. We got taken care of as a minor league team. We got treated like it was as close as you could be to being in the NHL by being in the AHL, being in St. John's, Newfoundland with that organization at the time.
And for you, over 700 games in the NHL, a couple of Stanley Cup rings, and a 20-year pro career. And just how much of the, the success you were able to enjoy, how much do you owe to your time that you spent in the American Hockey League?
Yeah, I went into the A as a boy and came out a man. There's no doubt about it. I learned how to be a good teammate. I learned how to be a good young guy. I learned how to be a good professional. I learned how to be a good older guy from a lot of my mentors in the AHL days. I think that it really is a breeding ground for character. They're not easy buildings to play in. They're not easy players to play against. I mean, you go in as a 19, 20-year-old, and you're playing against some 27, 28-year-old men that look like they're absolute killers. But it couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, I would have liked to have made the NHL a few years earlier and maybe put those paychecks in the bank, but the whole experience, I can't complain. I wouldn't have been as big of a part of some teams in the NHL had I not had that experience in the AHL.
And all the experiences that you had at different levels in different places, how did that kind of groom you for this post-playing career experience that you're gaining now here in the Panthers front office?
Yeah, it's funny. I think you would, ever since St. John's, I was always interested and kind of involved in the business side of things. I still talk to, they have a East Coast League team there now. The president's Glenn Stanford. He was the president of the team when I was in St. John's, and we've always had a running dialogue. We've always we still keep in touch. I was talking to him last week, so there's been a lot of stuff. You learn in the minors too that it's really hard to put butts in seats in some of those towns, and you see different ways that organizations go about it. You see some that work, some that don't, but you definitely gain that experience. And for me, I was I guess fortunate enough to have people that when I was asking the stupid questions that they actually gave me the time of day and gave me answers on why they were doing certain things. And it's all about the experience, and I had a lot of it down there.
And I know just getting to know you when you were as a player and now continuing to work with you, I know something that you've always held near and dear was being a big presence out in the community, not just on the ice. And I know that's definitely translated into your post-playing career. But I remember seeing you at the hospital visits, especially this time of the year as a player. You're doing the same thing now as an executive. Just how important is it, especially this time of the year, to be able to get out there in the community and be able to put some smiles on some faces?
Yeah, I would argue that it's more important other times in the year. I feel like some of these hospitals get inundated with requests to come visit this time of year. But anytime that you could put a smile on a small child's face that's going through whatever they're going through at any point during the year, I mean, it makes what we do worthwhile. I think if you have a bit of a platform and you can use it to do that, why wouldn't you? I think even more impressive, though, is when you go to these things and you see what they're going through, and you see that they're 9 times out of 10 in a better mood than you are when you show up to the place. It really puts things in perspective for you. And for me as a player and as an executive now, when you come back to the office, you went back to the dressing room, it really helped me, show up and go to work the next day, because it was inspiring.
I know you've taken a lot of pride in that part, in that part of the really being involved in the hockey industry is that platform and getting out in the community. And I know here as a part of the Panthers front office, we all know just how important it is to get out there in that community. How, I guess, kind of going off your last answer, how important is that to this organization? I know we hold it near and dear, being able to get out there.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it was a thing, but as I joined the Panthers 5 years ago, I realized that it really comes from the top down in this organization. Vinny and Doug are very big proponents of giving back to the community, and I think it definitely, I'm not going to say trickle down, I'll say pours down to every single employee and player in this organization. I mean, we have staff members that work 80, 90-hour weeks some days when they're games, and they're still doing cleanups on the beach on Sunday mornings. It's never ending here. We have big brothers, big sisters that shadow our workers during the day in here. It's huge. We've partnered with some of our partners, JetBlue, giving hats back to every kid that's in our STEM program. The list goes on and on. We could sit here all day with the learn to plays, with the hospital visits, this organization really, really gives back. All our community champions giving, every single game we're giving a check and telling the story about an organization that needs some attention, and we're happy to be, again, that platform to help share the information. So it's a huge initiative for this organization, and it's one of the reasons personally that I wanted to come work for this organization.
Sean Thornton right there, Panthers VP of Business Operations, huge part of the Panthers when he was a player and a huge part of the Panthers now as an executive. And a big congratulations to him, a great honor, well-deserved. He's going to be one of the honorary captains at the upcoming AHL All-Star Classic. So, again, great to be able to catch up with Sean Thornton. And, again, he was such a big presence on the ice but also off the ice as a player, and into his post-playing career continues to be a big presence off the ice, doing great stuff out there in the community. And, again, such an important part of what the Panthers do, not just on the ice but also off the ice, making a mark throughout the community. And we have some breaking news now here on the Panthers Insider Show, and Randy Moeller is going to join us next. So I know this is one of the things that we're going to get to, but the Panthers have recalled forwards Henrik Borgstrom and Jace Hauerluck, two of the Panthers' top prospects from Springfield of the American Hockey League. So a couple of call-ups, and Borgstrom, of course, played a little bit for the Panthers at the very end of last season, coming off a big two-year run of NCAA hockey at Denver. Jace Hauerluck has not played the National Hockey League yet, but he is leading Springfield in points this season. So the Panthers calling up a couple of their top prospects. We'll talk about that and more with Red Deer Randy Moeller coming up on the other side of the break.
That is coming up. Panthers Maple Leafs tonight as the Cats get set to play their only home game in this stretch. And our special guest, Mr. Randy Mulder, will join us live in the studio, our little studio here at the BB&T Center, right here. You're listening to Panthers Insider on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Radio.com. Radio.com. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show, right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.
Panthers Insider continues. Kevin Rogers, Doug Plagans, and our special guest joining us in the booth, Randy Mulder, coming up in just a second. Panthers, the Maple Leafs tonight, then the Panthers back on the road again. They'll head to Buffalo coming up Tuesday, then to Toronto on Thursday, Detroit, Chicago next weekend, before the Panthers' next home game in 2 weeks when the Philadelphia Flyers come in. Actually, Montreal before that on Friday. So, busy December, but first, Doug, the Maple Leafs are in.
Don't want to miss this one tonight, 7 o'clock, Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs right here at the BB&T Center, 954-835-PUCK, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. And calling all college students, text STUDENT 64600 to opt into the Panthers Student Rush Program. Each ticket $20, includes parking, as well as access to the exclusive rooftop rush space. For more information, FloridaPanthers.com is where to go. And mention it right before the break, some breaking news here on the Panthers Insider Show. Breaking news as far as the Panthers are concerned. Two of the team's top prospects, Henrik Borgstrom, played a little bit at the end of last season for the Panthers. Jace Hauerluck, yet to make his National Hockey League debut. They rank each one top three in scoring with Springfield, the Panthers AHL affiliate, both called up. So I guess we'll get into that first as Red Deer Randy Mulder joins us here this morning. The Panthers bringing up a couple of their top prospects.
Well, and K-Rod, he introduced me as a special guest. How can it be a special guest when I did this show for 20 some years?
Well, because you've been off for a little bit, now you're back, so you're special.
Oh,
you're
I guess a special.
So technically you are
special guest. Oh, it's great to be here. And yeah, hopefully these two young players come up will give the Panthers a shot in the arm. They definitely need that after a couple of disappointing losses in the Midwest in St. Louis and Minnesota just this past week. So Borgstrom, he has continued to grow. They want him to get down there and play the pro game and get a lot stronger and learn the pro game a little bit and play with there's a big difference, guys, between playing in junior hockey or playing in college. And when you get up in the pros, even if in the American Hockey League, you've got players in the American Hockey League that are in their mid to upper 20s, have been around, and they're bigger, they're stronger, and that. And these two players they've improved, Borgstrom and Hauerluck. Hauerluck leads at the Thunderbirds with 28 points and 7 goals. So, here's their opportunity, and when things don't go well with a big club, that's you're going to expect changes. And the Panthers, not only the offense, but defensively, I think everybody's well aware the Panthers have to play a little bit tighter defensively.
What is the difference, Randy? When you talk about you move up a level, bigger, stronger, faster, what else is it? Obviously, this Toronto team is very talented, but what else is it when you're a young guy and now facing this kind of talent, that what do you have to adjust to?
Well, you talk to these players that come up, and one of the things that they really talk about is you can't take a shift off. You can't just jump over the boards and go, okay, where am I, whatever. You have to be focused, and it's going to be elevated and amplified when these young players are going to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs. They play a fast game. They go up and down their lineup. Everybody knows one of the highest scoring teams in the National Hockey League and all the talent that they have and future Hall of Famers that are on this roster is a lot like the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that you have to be prepared every game. And I think the other thing, too, is the speed of the game. Now, it doesn't matter how quick you are. I was talking with Greco after the game the other night, and we were off camera, and I said, what did you think? And he goes, wow, was it ever quick out there. So you have to react quick, you have to think quick, and you have to be prepared for every shift. So it'll be a good test for these young players. It'll be a big test for this Florida Panther Hockey Club. Toronto comes in, although they had almost 50 shots on goal in Tampa Bay. I think Vasilevskiy stole that game, and that they still lost 4-1. So they're going to be hungry. This is a mom's trip. They want to play well in front of their mothers that are going to be here in attendance. So the Panthers, they have to be ready to go, and they have to be prepared to play defensively and strong in their own zone.
And, Randy, something we talked about very early on in the show, we talk a lot about what Alexander Barkov does for this team and how he helps out and contributes in so many different ways across the board. But something that we talked about with Jameson Olive back in the first segment that might get overlooked that's led to a lot of the success the Panthers have had on the power play is his prowess in the faceoff circle, and especially on the power play where he's winning over 60% of his draws. And when you're taking faceoffs on the power play, you're taking them always against some of the best faceoff men on the other team who are out there killing those penalties. Really says a lot about the work he's done in the faceoff circle this season.
Yeah, faceoff wins equal puck possession. And it doesn't matter if you're on the power play, but it's more important on the power play when you're in the offensive zone. You don't win the draw, the puck's going to go all the way down the ice. And that you mentioned about Barkov, the 19 points in the last 19 games, including 9 goals. This is where the Panthers and Alexander Barkov and what he means to this hockey club is absolutely amazing, and the little things that he does. Even though the Panthers suffered a couple of disappointing losses in their last couple of games there on the road, some of the defensive plays that Barkov made, stripping guys of the puck, he seems to always be in the right position. And what I mean by that is he always turns the right way defensively. He doesn't turn away from the opposition player and allow himself to get out of position, makes the right moves. There's where a guy like Henrik Borgstrom, Jace Howerlech, we saw Greco that was called up. These guys, just watch how he plays and how he plays in his own zone, how he positions himself in the neutral zone and how he strips the puck in that. The positioning, it's not only run and gun, it's some of the little things that make a great hockey player like Alexander Barkov.
And last thing here, Randy, you talked about a little bit the firepower the Toronto Maple Leafs bring, but what are, in your mind, the biggest focal points for the Panthers here tonight?
Well, obviously defensively. They have to get it organized, and I'd like to see them play with a little bit more grit in their own zone. What seems to happen when they're playing teams is they're not physical at the start and in the first two periods against teams. Then in the third period, it just seems like the courage level of the opposition elevates, and now they have the confidence to make those little plays, and especially in the Panthers zone. So there's no doubt they need the big saves. They need some strong defensive plays, block shots, and then score on their opportunities. I mean, we sound like a broken record, but we all know about the Panthers' power play. Although they haven't scored a power play goal in their last two games, that's been carrying their offense. They need more 5-on-5 goals. It was encouraging at the start of the game in Minnesota where Malgin scored that goal, give the Panthers a 1-0 lead. It was a 5-on-5 goal, and you know, we're all excited about that, but then there was nothing after that. The offense really dried up. So a big test for the Panthers. I know they're going to be ready for it, and that they just have to execute, because this Toronto team are going to come, and they're going to come hard. And as you know, Doug, they come in waves. It's like Tampa Bay. Every line can come offensively. There's no off shifts.
Randy Moeller, you will see him tonight on Fox Sports Florida on the
really?
Broadcast. You will see him. You'll see him between the boards. You'll see him in the intermissions, right, with Craig Minervini?
I thought I had the day off. Oh, okay.
Oh, come on. You haven't been off in years. Randy Moeller joining us here. Panthers and the Maple Leafs coming up tonight as Doug Plagans wrap things up.
The Panthers and the Leafs tonight, 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. 954-835 puck, FloridaPanthers.com if you don't have your tickets.
Exactly. Panthers, Leafs tonight. This is your last chance to see the Panthers at home for almost 2 weeks until after Christmas when Montreal comes in on the 28th of December. So Panthers, Maple Leafs tonight, and you can join us later on from the BB&T Center. You've been listening to Panthers Insider right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.